Running your own business can feel isolating, but you don't have to figure it all out alone. Join a free guest session inside the Smashing the Plateau community to get fresh ideas and real solutions to your biggest business challenge. Spots are limited. Reserve yours now at smashingtheplateau.com/guest. That's smashingtheplateau.com/guest.
You can't do everything, every type of marketing. You're really going to have to be very focused on figuring out a few ways where your marketing is going to deliver the best return on investment. And it needs to be something you can do consistently and something that you enjoy doing.
Today's guest is Jane Westman, an expert in book publicity and marketing with an impressive track record creating national bestsellers. In this episode, Jane shares her battle-tested approach to marketing that solves a challenge many entrepreneurs face: how to market consistently without feeling inauthentic or overwhelmed. Jane reveals why your website is your most critical marketing asset and how to make it work for you. She explains the power of choosing just a few marketing channels you can sustain rather than trying to do everything. You'll discover why narrowing your focus actually expands your opportunities and how being deeply authentic in your marketing attracts the right clients. We also explore the often overlooked value of leadership roles in nonprofit organizations, not just for giving back, but for developing essential business skills you simply can't learn any other way. Jane shares candid insights from her years leading the National Association of Women Business Owners and Women's Media Group, including lessons about listening that transformed how she works with clients. If you've ever felt that marketing drains your energy or doesn't feel like you, this conversation will change your perspective. Let's dive in. Now let's welcome Jane Westman. Jane is one of the country's top experts in book publicity and marketing with an impressive track record creating national bestsellers, particularly in the areas of business leadership and personal growth. The author of Dive Right In, The Sharks Won't Bite, Jane is also a mentor and advisor to entrepreneurs and startups. Strong believer in giving back, Jane currently serves as co-president of the nonprofit organization Women's Media Group. Jane, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, David. Happy to be here.
I'm so glad that you're coming on again. Now, you've been on Smashing the Plateau multiple times, and not only are you an expert in book publicity and marketing, but you have, as I mentioned in the introduction, you've mentored many entrepreneurs, in particular, entrepreneurs whose business is selling their expertise, which resonates with our audience because that's primarily what we talk about. And years ago, I created a podcast episode at an event that was run by the National Association of Women Business Owners in New York City in the local chapter. And I know you have ties to NABO.
Yeah, I was the president of NABO for the New York City chapter for 4 years. And before that, I was the programming chair, I think, at least for a year. And now with my work with the Women's Media Group, I do spend a lot of time sitting on the boards of nonprofit organizations that are connected to my work.
Yeah, and we can come back to that in a minute. I also wanted to mention that, in addition to being on Smashing the Plateau multiple times, you and I recently had an exchange around an email that I had written and distributed to our list that was about marketing. And in the email, I wrote the following. There's a pattern that I see over and over. The people who deliver the most value often resist marketing the most, not because they're lazy, but because marketing feels like an energy leak. And this evolved from a discussion that we had in a Smashing the Plateau community session where one of our members said the following: when I'm doing the work, I have no time for business development. When I'm doing business development, I'm not doing the work, right? And I went on to explain, the tension is real. And also the challenge that many people in this expert space deal with is they feel like the marketing they should be doing doesn't feel like them, right? So they're all these tensions around what it kind of marketing really feels like me. How do I balance marketing with doing the work? How do I do marketing consistently so I don't have these huge cycles? Because you're doing the work, it's great, then you get paid. And if it is, particularly if your business is a project-based business, the project ends. And if you haven't been doing marketing to fill your pipeline, all of a sudden there's a gap and there's no income. You know, and it may be that you're doing multiple projects simultaneously, so you may not be losing all of your income when that project ends, but you take a hit. And if you're doing one project at a time, you take a huge hit. So, you know, you and I then had this little exchange about things you do and things you don't do. So marketing is part of your expertise and what you advise your clients. I'd love to just start off and hear a little bit about what it is you do, what you don't do, and maybe we can take it from there.
Okay. Well, the most important thing is to build your website. You need to look at your website as you would like you're a physical, a store. Or a structure. You need a place where people can go to learn more about you and which you explain to them what it is you do that will help them. So before you can really develop your marketing plan, you need a website. And it needs to be authentic. So I think this is going to address that sense of an entrepreneur or a consultant not feeling like themselves when they do marketing. And let me just say one other very important thing. You can't do everything, every type of marketing. You're really going to have to be very focused on figuring out a few ways where your marketing is going to deliver the best return on investment. And it needs to be something you can do consistently and something that you enjoy doing. Now, let me go back to the website a minute. So to me, the basis for all your marketing is going to be what's on your website. What you say on your website about yourself, your company, and the problem that you help your clients solve. So, David, before anybody can do any marketing, they've got to be clear on what it is they're helping people with. Because too many entrepreneurs and consultants try to be something for everyone, and that doesn't work. You really need to think about what you're good at, and I'm going to flip it a little bit, what problem you're solving that you're good at helping your clients with. And that's what's going to be on your website. And one of the strangest things that I see on people's websites is when they pretend to be something bigger than they really are, as if they think that pretending to be a big company or providing more services than what they're really good at is somehow going to drive business. So I say, be authentic, tell people who you are, what it is you can do for them. That needs to be clear on your website. Then from there, you can decide what other types of marketing you want to engage in. Now, going back to me, so I built my website. I like to be on LinkedIn. I'm on other types of social media, but I find LinkedIn is a really important place to be for consultants and entrepreneurs. And I think it's also, if I were to choose one other form of marketing that I think works really well is a newsletter, which you already have, and you do really well. Kudos on your newsletter. So if you think about this, your website, your LinkedIn, and your newsletter are all going to integrate. There are other things that can be related to that. So it's all about thought leadership. To me, I think that content, what we call content marketing, is really the key to marketing your business as a consultant. So what are your ideas? What are you seeing happening in the industry? How can you help people? So some of that's going to be on your website. Some of that's going to be in your posting on LinkedIn. And some of that's going to be in your newsletter. And so once you write the newsletter, you can post your ideas on LinkedIn. Or you can even put your newsletter on LinkedIn, as well as sending it out to your email list, which is a list that you're going to develop over time. A lot of people say to me, I don't have enough people on my email list. So if you have 100, 200, 300 people, that's a good beginning. And you can grow your email list through your LinkedIn and through your website. Does that sound like too much already, David?
No, I always tell people go narrow and go deep. It's like you got to pick your lane. And particularly for people who come out of corporate where they weren't in a marketing role, right, which is most people in corporate, they don't realize that. And it's kind of the inverse of what you're doing when you're trying to get a job. Like when you're trying to get a job, you put on your resume all these different things that you've done, thinking that having lots of experience is going to help you land the job. Whereas when you're trying to market expertise, people are going to be hiring you to solve a particular problem. So it looks like you have deep expertise in that problem and that's your specialty. That is what's going to help you. It's like you don't go to a heart surgeon because the heart surgeon is a general practitioner. You go because that surgeon knows how to do surgery on hearts, right? And a heart surgeon will get paid more than a general practitioner. And the same thing is true, right, with an expert-based business. If you are an expert in something very narrow where you have deep expertise, you can charge more.
I hadn't quite thought about it that way, but I think that figuring out your niche, there are a lot of people who are going to need your services. You wouldn't be in business if there wasn't a problem out there. And whatever that problem is, there are going to be a lot of people who need help with it. And so you're really, it's easier to target those people. Once you figure out who they are and what the problem is that you're going to solve, you can solve for them. You can really target them. Let's take a look at my business. So I do book marketing, which means a lot of my clients are consultants or leaders of businesses, entrepreneurs. Because I handle a lot of leadership books, management books, etc. So I could expand my business to also be a marketing expert for small businesses because my clients are running small businesses, but I don't because that. There are too many other people out there who do that. I'm really targeted on helping these people, entrepreneurs, experts, leaders, when they write a book. And I've stuck to it for a long time. I've had a very successful business because of that. So it's very targeted.
Right. So you specifically say no to what many might see as lots of other opportunities.
Yes. And I had to learn that early on. Yeah. So if somebody said to me, you know, help me increase sales for my business. That's not what I do. I can focus on increasing sales of a book, but not increasing sales of a business. I've actually tried in different ways to expand our marketing services. And you know, David, I have to tell you the truth. I like books. I really like marketing books. So in the end, I'm being true to myself as well as to who my target clients are. I market books.
Right, which is what you said at the outset, which is understand what it is you enjoy and you can be consistent about delivering value around or content around, and you enjoy books, right? And you're good at it.
Thank you. You know, the other thing which we didn't really touch on, but I use outside services to help me with marketing. And so for our company, we post on social media across several different platforms. I don't have time to post on social media across all the platforms. So I may come up with, I create the posts or, you know, the topics that we want to post about, but I have a consultant, a marketing person who actually does the posting for me and also the promotion of some of the posts that if we want to reach a broader audience. And so I would recommend even for somebody who's just starting out, if they can find a person who can help them, who's reasonably priced, that they should budget for help if they want to with social media. They could budget for help writing their newsletters and definitely budget for your website design. Do not cut corners on your website. This may be personal, but I hate websites. Oh, David, I didn't look at your website. I hope it's not one page, one long flowing page.
Nope.
Okay. I think websites need to you know, have enough information about what your projects are, who you are, case studies, endorsements from your clients. That's something that's very important, is to make sure that you have plenty of endorsements that go both on your social media and that's on your website. And you can even include them in your newsletter. If you want to ask me about other types of marketing, we could talk about that too.
Yeah, such as what?
Speaking, getting speaking engagements, being interviewed on podcasts, writing articles and placing them on other people's websites. So there are plenty of other ways to market a business. Some people start their own podcast. So it's really a question of what you feel like doing and what you have time to do consistently. And that's the key word, consistent. Yeah. You need consistency for marketing to work. So it's better to only post on LinkedIn if that's the only thing you have time for. I think what I'm advise people do is to try to make sure they have a presence in search engines. As you know, search engines are evolving because they're being driven by AI. Is now what you find if you do a Google search, you're going to come up with an AI description of whatever it is you're searching for. So the reason to have a website is to make yourself findable, and the reason to be on LinkedIn is LinkedIn shows up very well in searches. And then the other thing is any kind of articles that you can get published on somebody else's website will show up. Any podcast interviews you do will show up. So, you know, all of that's great, but it takes a lot more time and effort.
Yeah. Actually, I could share a story that actually preceded my having a podcast, which goes back to what you just mentioned about having a team. And by the way, even though our audience has lots of solopreneurs, I have yet to meet a solopreneur who doesn't have some team member, right? So for example, if you have somebody who prepares your tax returns and you use that same person year after year after year to do your tax returns, that person is part of your team. They understand a little bit about your personal needs as well as your business needs. So I agree with you 100%. You can't do anything without a team. And this was early on in my consulting business when I saw that other consultants that seemed to be in a place where I wanted my business to get to, they were creating content. And this is long before a lot of the tools that people use nowadays existed, but blogs were pretty common. And I thought, oh, well, maybe I should have a blog. So what did I know about creating a blog? Very little. I thought, okay, well, maybe I can get somebody to help me. And I ended up hiring a college student who was a journalism major and had created his own blog. So those were two really important things, somebody who could write well and somebody who knew that like the technicalities of getting a blog started. And as a result, I hired him and then I had to feed him work. So by default, we ended up creating consistent content because I had to give him work every single week. You know, and it was, you know, it was not a huge investment to be able to do this. But again, I had a team member. It created consistency. It created relatively decent content right out of the gate. And 2 to 3 years later, we then bumped that up a notch and started the podcast. But it's all because I ended up hiring a team member.
And so the podcast works because it's consistent. The same thing with your newsletter. I get your emails all the time. Some people may confuse what I'm saying about newsletter with a consistent email that you would send out to your mailing list. So you can call it a newsletter, you can call it an email, but it's filled with either information or advice that your clients or people who might recommend you would be interested in. Yeah, well, you know, being a solopreneur, an entrepreneur, is lonely, but nobody succeeds on their own. And I think you emphasize that a lot, David. You really need a team, whatever that means, part-time people, somebody to bounce ideas off of and to help you think. And even in this age of AI, where you can get a lot of help from AI in writing your newsletters, in writing your social media posts, you still need people to talk to. There's just something about working all by yourself all day long and getting trapped in your own thoughts, and you lose a vision. If something's not going well, you think this is only happening to you, or you think it's your fault. But when you have somebody else to share ideas with, to even tell them what happened, and this person knows something about your business, it will change everything. It gives you better perspective. It gives you encouragement. And I think 1 + 1 in this case equals like 3 or 4 or 5. You know, getting this input from somebody else does a lot to help you move forward.
Yeah, let's actually talk about that, because this is something that I know you have done consistently over the course of your career. And we talked about it at the beginning of this episode. We talked about it in the introduction of the podcast, which is you are currently involved in the Women's Media Group, and you were very involved in NABO, the National Association of Women's Business Owners. And you've, I'm sure, have been involved in lots of other organizations over the course of your career. Share a little bit about those kinds of connections, because it seems to me that they integrate what you were just describing about not being alone, and also some of the other visibility issues about being seen and heard.
Yes, and I've learned so much from now. I've been on the boards of both organizations and been president of one and co-president now of Women's Media Group. I have learned so much about how to deal with people. I've learned so much about listening to other people. I've learned about just things that I couldn't learn even working with, you know, being a boss. When you're an entrepreneur and you pay people, you're the boss, so you're in charge. So whatever you say is going to go in the end. But when you're actively involved in a volunteer nonprofit organization where everybody's doing it just to be giving back and, you know, making the world a better place. In my case, helping women in business be more successful. When you're dealing with people that you're not paying, that you have to share ideas with, that you have to listen to, it's really enlightening and an amazing experience of learning more about other people. It broadens my ability to work with my clients. When I think back to, let's say, 10 years, it's even 15 years ago when I started at National Association of Women Business Owners, I didn't listen well enough to the board members. Believe me, I listen a lot better now. And when I think about some of the, I missed opportunities because I didn't listen. I didn't hear them. And this is just a skill for being a consultant, right? You've got to listen to your clients. You've got to understand the marketplace. You've got to understand their needs. So not only do I gain the things that I talked about earlier, we're having people around me, you know, being supportive, because when you're on the board, you get to know other people. They know something about you. But I think you gain a lot of skills. I think it's really important to be involved in some way with an organization that in your business, or if you simply want to give back anything, you know, Meals on Wheels, or, you know, serving in a soup kitchen, anything that gets you out there and gets you involved with other people, I think is really important. So if you are a member of a business organization or some other nonprofit, just being a member isn't enough. You need to join a committee, join the board if you have the time, but just being a member you don't get back from the organization or give back to the organization enough for it to really be heartfelt. I mean, I have to tap my heart here when I talk about it. It feels great to be involved in some type of organization that interests you.
Yeah, that's a really important message. And I'm thinking about, in my own case, listening to what you've just described, I'm thinking about, in my own case, times when I have stepped up and taken on leadership roles in organizations that I've been part of. It's made a huge difference in terms of how I feel about what I've contributed. And then it has led to other opportunities, as you've just described.
Yeah, it does lead to other opportunities. And of course, it helps your professional brand, because you're going to be on that organization's website. When was it in New York? A week or so ago, I was up on the stage of the Gotham Comedy Club in front of, 120 people, introducing our women's media group comedy night. It was great. It was so much fun to be in the spotlight. But, I was there and a lot of people saw me, and it builds this way people think about you. As a leader, as a consultant, as an advisor, you need to be thought of as a leader, as someone that other people need to listen to.
Yeah, very important. Jane, before we close out, is there anything else you want to mention around the topics we've discussed? Marketing, brand building, books, selling your expertise?
I'd like to say that your number one marketing tool is your website. Don't skimp on it. Try to find someone who can help you build it so that you don't just build a website of what you want, but that you also get some input from someone else so that you're building a website that your clients or customers are going to find meaningful. Start with your website and then choose a couple of other marketing methods that work with you, which could be choosing a social media platform that works for you, putting out a weekly newsletter or email that you send out, writing articles that you get published. Choose whatever works best for you. But my key message is consistency. So it's build your website and be consistent in your marketing.
Love that. Jane, thank you so much for taking the time to join us again on Smashing the Plateau. It was a great discussion. My guest today has been book publicity and marketing expert Jane Westman. Thank you, Jane, for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you, David.
Running your own business can feel isolating. That's why we created Smash Through Your Business Roadblocks, a live interactive session where experienced professionals bring real challenges and work through them together using the SMASH framework. It's your chance to experience the Smashing the Plateau community, a space where corporate refugees support one another to keep moving forward. You'll leave with fresh momentum, clarity, and maybe even a few new allies in your corner. Guest spots are limited, so grab yours now at smashingtheplateau.com/guest. That's smashingtheplateau.com/guest.